The title of this sermon is called, Should Christians Pass Judgment? Should Christians Pass Judgment? We're in our sermon series in the Sermon on the Mount. We're beginning Matthew chapter 7 today. So we've been all the way through Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, and now we're in Matthew chapter 7. Got one more chapter to go, and then we'll be done with the Sermon on the Mount. What's the most popular verse in the Bible? It's not John 3:16. It used to be. You used to be right. It's now Matthew 7:1. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. That has become the new most popular verse in the United States. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. If ever you want to get your unbelieving friends who don't believe in the Bible to use the Bible against you, just say that you are against a particular behavior, or say that a particular behavior is wrong or sinful, and your friends who do not believe the Bible will beat you over the head with the Bible, with that particular verse. Don't judge, and you will not be judged. Seriously, though, should Christians pass judgment? Let's say you're having a conversation at work or in your small group at church or with a group of friends, family members, and you express your opinion that a particular behavior is sinful or is morally wrong. Was that wrong of you to say that? Should you have come out and said that, or is that being judgmental? Is that being intolerant? Have you just gone against what Christ is saying not to do? Or is it wrong to believe that certain behaviors are morally evil? Is it wrong to express your beliefs that certain behaviors are morally evil? Let's say that you have a friend who claims to be a Christian. It is even a member of our church. And this friend is living in outright disobedience. I mean, it's obvious disobedience. It's not a gray area. It's obvious disobedience to the Word of God. What should you do? Should you lovingly approach him or her and try to correct the situation and help restore them? Or should you just mind your own business, don't judge, back off, be silent, pretend like you didn't see anything? This is a serious issue. Or what if you're having a conversation, you express your opinion that a particular behavior is morally evil, and somebody says, don't judge? How do you respond to that? What are you supposed to say to that? Well, Jesus had a lot to say on this topic. In fact, this verse, Matthew 7:1, is not only the most popular verse in the Bible, it's the most misquoted and misunderstood verse in the Bible. Because as with any verse, context is king. Remember that. Context is king when you're interpreting the newspaper, a Harry Potter book, or the Bible. Context is king. You read the Bible just like any other book. And the problem is everybody knows Matthew 7:1, but nobody knows the last verse in Matthew chapter 6 or the second verse in Matthew chapter 7. Nobody knows this Jesus who actually said Matthew 7:1. Everybody knows Matthew 7:1, but they don't read that verse in the context of the rest of Matthew chapter 7, the book of Matthew, and the context of all that Jesus said in the Bible, and the context of the whole New Testament, and the context of the entire Bible. And that's what you have to do to understand any verse. So that's what we're going to do today is hopefully understand this verse in light of its context. Now, when you're passing judgment, there are several principles that you need to keep in mind as a Christian. Number one, you can write these down. It's never wrong to agree with God. I want to give you permission this morning as a Christian to be courageous. Be loving, but be courageous. And remember this, it's never wrong to agree with God. The word judge, in Greek it's the word krino, just to let you know that I did my homework. It means to distinguish between good and evil, right and wrong. It's to decide or determine whether something is right or wrong. Now, when you define the word judge like that, then most of the time when Christ followers are accused of being judgmental, they're not actually judging. Most of the time when Christ followers are accused of being judgmental, we're not actually deciding or determining what's right and wrong. All we're doing is agreeing with God. He's the one who decided what's right and wrong. He's the one who distinguished between good and evil. He's the one who determined what is sinful and what is good. We're simply agreeing with him. We're not deciding what the law is. We're just agreeing with God, and it's never wrong to agree with God. In fact, the opposite is the problem. It's always wrong as a Christian to disagree with God. That's something you never want to be accused of. You never want to disagree with God, but that's exactly what many people in our society want you to do. Most of the time, when somebody accuses you of being judgmental, what they really want is they want you to say, that they are right and God is wrong, instead of saying that God is right and they are wrong. In other words, most of the time when people rebuke you for being judgmental, they're rebuking you for agreeing with God. How dare you agree with God on that matter? That's judgmental. And so what people are doing in our society is they're using the Bible to get you to stop using the Bible. They're basically saying, you shouldn't agree with God on this subject. See, God said so. That makes sense, does it? Their goal is to use the Bible to make you feel guilty about believing the Bible so that you'll stop believing the Bible. But it's never wrong to agree with God. As a Christian, you need to courageously stand for what is right. Imagine if you're riding in the car with your friend. He's speeding. He's driving. He's speeding. I mean, really speeding. And you say to him, you need to slow down. You're breaking the law. And he turns to you and says, don't judge me. Have you judged him? Have you done something wrong? Were you being intolerant? Have you decided what the speed limit is? You didn't decide what the speed limit is. You didn't make the law. You're just telling your friend, you're breaking the law. I'm just agreeing with the law. I'm just telling you what the law is. I didn't set the law. Didn't make it, wasn't there when it was voted on. I don't know who made the speed limit, but you're breaking the speed limit. You're breaking the law. Well, that's exactly what happens. Whenever you express your belief and agree with God, you're not passing judgment. You're just agreeing with the judgment that God has already made. And it's never wrong to agree with God. Number two, the second principle to keep in mind is that while it's impossible to stop judging, it is possible to stop judging in the wrong way. And that's essentially what Jesus is getting at in this passage. Listen, it's impossible, is what I'm going to show you. It's impossible to stop judging altogether. Not only is it impossible, it's unbiblical to stop judging altogether. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't judge in the wrong way or in an ungodly and unloving way. See, the way that most people in our society use that word judge, whenever they say, don't judge, you're being judgmental, really what they mean, and they don't even realize it, what they mean, what they're accusing you of is you're in the wrong for saying or believing that a particular behavior is wrong. To them, to judge means saying that somebody is morally evil. How dare you say that they're wrong? How dare you say that their behavior is evil? Now, is that really what Jesus is getting at here? Is that really what Jesus is condemning here? Does Jesus really want you to stop saying that murder is wrong? Is that really what Jesus is getting at here? Or does Jesus really want us to approve and applaud and agree with everybody's behavior, everybody's choices, no matter what they are? You just murdered somebody. Good job. Who am I to judge? Good job. Is that really what Jesus is getting at here? Just don't express your beliefs. Don't believe anything. But most of the time, that's what people are getting at. When you say, I believe this particular sin is evil, don't judge. So you're saying I can't say that a particular behavior is evil? Exactly. That's what we'd like you to stop doing. But that's impossible. We all make judgments. The thing is, it's impossible to stop judging altogether. Think about it. Is murder wrong? What about rape? Would you say that's wrong? What about child molestation and pornography? Would you say that's wrong? What about slavery, human trafficking? What about racism? Would you say that that's wrong? Would it be wrong if your neighbor set fire to your house? Would that be wrong? Anybody? Yes. Okay. Would it be wrong for your spouse to have an ongoing adulterous affair behind your back? Anybody? It's wrong. Would it be wrong for someone to cheat in an election, political election? Would it be wrong for your job to refuse to pay you at the end of the month? Now we're talking. Would it be wrong for an oil company to purposefully dump oil and other harmful chemicals into the Gulf of Mexico and then refuse to clean it up? Would that be wrong? Some of you oil people are like, I'm not sure about that. It may not be wrong. I have to really talk to the ethics committee. Would it be wrong for me to punch you in the face? It's just true. It's true. Well, listen, if you agreed that any of those behaviors are morally wrong, nobody would accuse you of being intolerant or judgmental. If you stood up on public TV and you said, racism is evil, not one person would say, how dare you be judgmental against those racist people? You're intolerant. Nobody would accuse you of being judgmental, but you've just expressed your belief that a particular behavior is morally wrong. We all make judgments all the time, and we want judgments to be made. It's impossible to live without making moral judgments. The truth is that the people in our society who cry out the loudest, "Don't judge, you're being intolerant," they're not against judging. They're against you judging their particular behavior of choice. The very same people who say stop judging all the time, they make moral judgments all the time. Racism is immoral. Slavery is immoral. Nuclear bombs are immoral. Pollution is evil. Corporate America is evil. Walmart, for that matter, is evil. The Tea Party is evil. George W. Bush and Rush Limbaugh are evil. Conservative Republicans are evil. Judging others is evil. But if you say that their particular behavior of choice is evil, they'll say, "Hey, stop judging. You're intolerant. Who do you think you are judging me?" They don't mind judging, and they don't mind you judging as long as you agree with their judgments instead of God's. That's the society that we live in. In fact, anytime somebody says that you're wrong for saying that a particular behavior is wrong, they've just done the very thing that they're accusing you of doing. Anytime somebody says, "You shouldn't judge, it's wrong. You shouldn't say that people are wrong. You're wrong for that." That's what you call a self-defeating statement. That's like saying, "My parents don't have any living children." That's like saying, "I don't speak a word of English." Well, when somebody says, "You're wrong for saying that somebody is wrong," that's a self-defeating statement, but that's what's going on in our society. And usually when somebody says, "Don't judge," that's exactly what they're doing to you. They're saying, "Don't, it's wrong for you to say that somebody's wrong." But that's exactly what they've just done to you. It's impossible to live without judging. Nobody lives that way, especially not the people who are always crying out, "Don't judge." If nobody judged, then prisons would be empty. Parents would never discipline their kids. Employees would never get fired. There would be no laws, and it would be wrong to serve as a judge or on a jury in a judicial system. Now think about it this way. You can't call someone good without making a moral judgment. You can't say, "That's a good man. She was a good woman." You cannot say that without making a moral judgment. In fact, you cannot forgive someone without making a moral judgment. To forgive someone is to acknowledge that they have done something that is morally wrong, yet you are going to let it go. It's impossible to live without judging. Not only is it impossible, it's unbiblical. The Bible commands us to make judgments. Judging is very important. It's a very important part of church life, for example. The Bible says that the church is to practice something called church discipline. That is, whenever there's a member of the church who's living in outright disobedience to God's word, that the church is not just to stand by and do nothing, that the church is supposed to intervene lovingly and correct that person. And then if that person refuses to repent, the church is to expel them from the fellowship, not excommunicate them. It's not like that person's going to hell. But the church is to say, "No, we can't let you associate and call yourself a member of this church if you're going to live like the devil. You need to be at least on the road trying to repent." The Bible says that Christians are to carefully judge whether what is being taught in the church is in line with sound doctrine. We're not supposed to just let anybody teach anything they want to in the church. We're supposed to judge. We're supposed to discern between what is right and wrong. The Bible says that we're to carefully judge a person's character before we make them a church leader or before we give them significant responsibility in the church. We need to make sure that a person is morally upright. We have to judge their character, their reputation, their competence. All that to say that Jesus isn't condemning all judging. He's condemning judging in the wrong way. This is why nobody says, "Don't judge a book." Does anybody say, "Don't judge a book"? What do people say? "Don't judge a book by its cover." Would it be wrong to say that book is a page turner? Or that book is filled with lies? Or that book has some material that is inappropriate for children? No, People make judgments like that all the time, and it's not wrong to do that because it's not wrong to judge. Now, it is wrong to judge a book by its cover. So it's not all judgments that are wrong. It's judging in the wrong way. So what's the wrong way to judge? What's the right way to judge? Here's the wrong way to judge. First of all, don't judge a person's motives. Don't judge a person's motives. Don't presume or assume that you know why a person did what they did. Tread very carefully when it comes to that, because only God knows the person's true heart and a person's mind. You don't know, hey, you hurt my feelings and you meant to do it. No, I didn't mean to. Yes, you did. You meant to. Now you've crossed the line now. Now you're judging. You don't know a person's true motives, a person's true heart. Leave that to God. Also, the wrong way to judge, do not judge if God has not spoken. Do not judge if God has not clearly spoken. If God in His Word has not clearly black and white said that behavior is wrong, then who are you to stand up and tell everybody you need to stop doing that? And this is where Christians have gotten in trouble through the years. Christians have condemned all forms of behaviors that are not black and white issues in the Bible. I mean, Christians in the past have condemned dancing of all kinds. Secular music, you know, it has to be under a Christian label. They've condemned any kind of music with a beat, you know, can't have too much of a drum beat, just organ and piano, please. Gambling, all kinds. At one point, Christians, one group of Christians was condemning, I think, everything that had to do with Disney. You know, don't associate with Disney at all. Listen, if God has not clearly spoken on the issue, then be careful about you judging other people. Don't you know that there are times whenever God will give you a personal conviction, and He'll say, for you, that's off limits. Just between you and God, that you need to stay away from that place. Don't watch that kind of show. For you, listen, just stay away from TV altogether. But then for you to turn around and say, God told me TV's wrong. You all need to stop watching TV. Turn it off. It's of the devil. That's when you begin to judge wrongfully. Also, do not judge with an unloving attitude. With an unloving attitude. The Bible says we're to speak the truth in what? In love. Speak the truth in love. And this is where we tend to go wrong. Many unbelievers are so turned off by Christians because we don't just say that a behavior is wrong. We bark at people and we fuss at people. And we come across that we don't just hate the sin. We hate the sinner too. But we need to be very careful whenever we do judge, whenever we do point out sin, whenever we do express our agreement with God's word, that we love the sinner, but that we do hate the sin just as God does. How do you judge with a loving attitude? You don't criticize people behind their back. You don't talk about somebody's sin. You don't point out somebody's sin. You don't judge somebody's sin behind their back. What good are you doing? You're damaging their reputation. That's a form of cowardice. You're hurting their relationships with other people. If you want to judge someone's behavior, do it to their face in love, not behind their back. Also, how to judge with a loving attitude, don't be condescending. Don't come across whenever you judge someone, whenever you talk about somebody's sin, when you point out somebody's sin, don't come across like you're better than them. Like you don't have sin in your own life. Like you do have sin in your life, but it's not as bad as theirs. Like, you got it all together, you're all cleaned up, but you're filthy, you're rotten, you're dirty, you're lesser. Don't be condescending, and also don't use cutting words. As Christians, we've got to be careful whether we're talking about President Obama or Congress or the Senate or local politicians or dishonest preachers. We've got to be careful that we don't use cutting words. Listen, you can disagree. You can point out that someone's behavior is morally wrong without using cutting words. Watch your tone. Watch your body language. Watch the actual words that you use. Speak the truth in love. Number three, a third principle to keep in mind when passing judgment is that ungodly judgments provoke retaliation. Jesus says in Matthew 7:2, after He says, don't judge, He says, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Now, Jesus is teaching a simple lesson here in how to win friends and influence people. Now, you have to remember, as Christians, our goal is to win souls, not win arguments. Our goal is not to convince somebody they're wrong, but to introduce people to Jesus. And what Jesus is doing here, he's pointing out a simple lesson in how to win friends and influence people, that if you judge wrongfully in an ungodly manner, if you come across as condescending or use cutting words or judge where God has not judged, then the natural reaction of people is going to be to retaliate against you and to attack you and to judge you wrongfully in the same way. Another way to interpret this verse is that God is going to make sure that when it comes to passing judgment, what goes around comes around. That you experience exactly what you've caused others to experience. God is just. Don't judge in a wrongful way or you'll experience the same thing. Isn't this human nature? Have you ever had somebody come to you and say and confront you about your sin? And your natural instinctive reaction was not to say, you know, you're right. I really need to work on that. But your natural instinctive reaction was to get defensive and to go on the attack and say, me? What about you? Well, that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Be careful when you judge, because that is the natural instinctive reactions of people. So if you judge in the wrong way, you will provoke retaliation. And instead of influencing someone, instead of drawing somebody to Christ, you're going to push them away. You're going to lose the soul. Number four, a fourth principle is the purpose of pointing out sin is to help. Is to help. The purpose of judging someone, of coming to someone and say, hey, listen, this behavior that you're engaging in, it's wrong. The reason for doing that is to help, is to correct. Verses 3 through 4 in Matthew 7, Jesus says, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Jesus is talking about hypocrisy here, but he uses the word help there, acknowledging that the purpose of pointing out sin, of confronting someone, of making moral judgments, is to help, it's to correct, it's to restore, it's to heal. Think of a surgeon. A surgeon doesn't cut people because he likes to hurt them. He cuts in order to heal. Or think of a teacher. A teacher doesn't grade using all that red ink to damage the child's self-esteem for life or to hurt the child's feelings. A teacher corrects and in order to help the child grow. Or think of a parent. As parents, we like to see our kids in pain, but we don't love to see our kids in pain. That's not why we discipline them or punish them. It's because we want to help them mature, right? So whenever we point out sin, whenever we make moral judgments, it's always to help. It's always to restore. Number five, fifth principle, it is hypocritical to correct someone until you have corrected yourself. It's hypocritical to correct someone, and this is the wrong way to judge as well, to correct someone when you have failed to correct yourself. Matthew 7:5, Jesus says, hypocrite, you're an actor, you're a poser, wearing a mask. Get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. In other words, don't you dare confront an adulterer if you're an active adulterer. Don't you dare confront an alcoholic about his alcoholism if you're an active alcoholic. Don't you dare confront a thief if you're a thief. Why? Because again, the purpose is to help. The purpose is to restore, to influence people. But if you've got a big sin in your life, an obvious big sin in your life, and yet you're going and you're trying to talk about somebody else's sin, they're not going to hear what you're saying. All they're going to see is what you're doing. And you're not going to have any influence with people. We're not going to have any influence with people that way. We've got to make sure that we correct ourselves before we correct others. Judge yourself much more harshly than you judge other people. Or else it's hypocritical and we will have no influence, no chance at helping people. Before you tell somebody they need to put down the cigarette, you need to put down the ice cream. That's what Christians are notorious for doing. We get all fired up and we get all vocal about other people's sins and the sins of society when we've got sin in our own lives that is very obvious to outsiders that we need to take care of. Now, this last principle is very, very important. Number six, believers need to be corrected, but unbelievers need to be introduced to Jesus. This is an interesting verse that you may have run across before and may not have understood. But you got to read it in the context that it's in. Verse 6, Jesus says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls then turn and attack you. So Jesus is talking about how to deal with unbelievers. And listen, church, don't try to get unbelievers to act like believers. Our goal is not to get unbelievers, people who have not embraced this book, to obey this book. Don't be surprised when unbelievers act like unbelievers. It's okay if they do. They haven't embraced the Savior that you've embraced. They haven't committed their lives to Jesus. Why would they follow his rules? So our goal is not to point out the sin of unbelievers and tell them, you need to follow Jesus' rules. No, no, no. Our goal instead is to introduce them to Jesus, and then Jesus will transform them. Now, when it comes to believers, other believers, professing believers, well, then you're free to correct them. The Bible says we need to do that, correct and confront each other in love. And I would like to see more of that in our church. I would like to for us to be able to get to the place in love to where we would have the courage to confront one another, but the humility to not bolt whenever we're confronted. That takes a lot of love. That takes a lot of maturity. That takes a lot of, it takes a serious commitment to the body of Christ and a serious commitment to holiness, that I'm willing to let other people approach me. When it comes to believers, we point out sin. We correct. When it comes to unbelievers, our goal is not to reform their behavior, to make them better people. All we'll do is populate hell with nicer people. That's not our goal. When it comes to unbelievers, our goal is to introduce them to Jesus, and he will transform them from the inside out. So when it comes to believers, correct. When it comes to unbelievers, introduce them to Christ. 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 13, Paul writes about this. He says, it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. Let me tell you why this is so important. In Uganda right now, evangelical Christians like us, evangelical is a term that's used for, it's not a denominational term, it's a term that's used for Christians who believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's evangelical Christians. In Uganda, evangelical Christians are kind of the majority right now, unlike in America. In America, we're losing ground. We're losing moral ground. We're losing moral power. But in Uganda, in Africa, they're actually gaining power. They're the majority. And so the majority opinion in Uganda right now, because of Christian influence, evangelical Christian influence, is that homosexuality is frowned upon. It's shameful. It's sinful. In America, it's shameful to say that it's shameful. In Uganda right now, homosexuality is seen as it was in America about 50 years ago. It's shameful behavior. It's free. It's a free country. You're allowed to do it, but it's definitely not something you want to admit to. It's definitely something that should be hidden. Definitely, don't even mention legalizing homosexual marriage. Well, there's a guy from Uganda who lives in America, and he's recently done a documentary on what's going on, and he's not an evangelical Christian. And what he's saying is that there are hate crimes going on in Uganda against homosexuals, and he's blaming it on evangelical Christians. And what he's doing is he's making a false connection that we're very close to seeing in America. And that false connection is this, that when you say that a behavior is evil, you're encouraging hate crimes against evil people. That's not at all what we're doing, are we, as Christians? We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. But this is coming to America. This is beginning to happen in our society. There's a very popular apologist. A Christian apologist is someone who explains or gives reason, evidence for the faith, that the Bible is true, that Jesus really did rise from the grave. His name is Frank Turek. And he wrote the popular book that I'm always recommending, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Great book. It's one of my top recommended books. Well, he worked for several Fortune 500 corporations, and he did training. He trained them in how to sell and stuff like that. But he also, on the side, he's a Christian apologist. He wrote a couple of books. One of the books that he wrote was an apologetic on why we should not, as a country, legalize homosexual marriage. He was against the legalization of homosexual marriage. Well, when these Fortune, this happened at least in two different companies. When the Fortune 500 company got word that he had written a book expressing his view against homosexual marriage, he was fired. Two different companies fired him. And that's America, where now, just like in Uganda, what they're going to say is, if you express your belief that a particular behavior is sinful, and then if somebody comes and commits a hate crime against me, it's your fault. You're spreading hate. But you need to know that it's not wrong to agree with God. That saying that a behavior is wrong without hurting that person is what Christianity is all about. That's what separates Christianity from Islam. It's just because somebody's a sinner and not following the same rules that we follow doesn't mean we get to go kill them. No, we want to reach them for Christ. We want to love on them, even if they don't come to Christ. Don't be afraid to agree with God. Now, the next time you're in a situation where you're being accused of being judgmental, or the next time you're in a situation where you're considering, should I approach a friend of mine, should a fellow church member about their sin, and you're wondering, is this going to be judgmental? What should I do? Here's a question that you can ask yourself. Am I judging according to the law and love of God? It's a simple question that you can remember. Am I judging according to the law and love of God? When I say the law of God, I'm talking about, are you agreeing with God? Or are you disagreeing with God? Or are you speaking about a matter that God has not spoken? As long as you're in agreeance with the law of God, you're okay. Am I judging according to the law of God? Has God clearly spoken? And then, am I judging according to the love of God? Is my purpose to restore, to help? Am I speaking with loving body language and a loving tone? And is it clear to this person that I love them and that I want what's best for them? Am I judging according to the law of God?